All right, so let me start off by saying this. There are things in, so we've been doing our supernatural series, and this is going to be the landing. We are landing the supernatural plane this morning. And so you're like, we're like, this is what we do. This is like week number 45 of Supernatural. And what Jessica said, actually Jessica and Julie, they did such a great job over the last couple of weeks. Just amazing, amazing, great job. Great, great job. If you missed it, we do have them on our YouTube page. You can go back and watch those. But we've been talking about living a life of supernatural, and Jessica said it so well in the office the other day. She says, you know, really, we'll never end this series on supernatural. This is who we are as believers. We are supernatural people. And the moment we miss and we don't realize that this life is not to be lived just in the natural, that we are called to be supernatural people, living in supernatural ways, the better we'll be. Amen? And so so in all the things that we've said, we're landing the plane this morning. So so there are things that we say in our culture that when we say them, are just phrases that we use that really don't make sense. That really just go, what does that really mean? There's things that we say like all the time. So actually, I heard this guy saying this, and he made mention of it, and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to repeat it. So somebody asked me, so I have a sister that lives over in Smyrna. Somebody may ask me, so how often do you get to see your sister? And then, so your response, well, you know what? Every now and again, we see each other. Every now and again. Every now and again. So every single now. And every again. So how often do I see my now, and right now, now, and now, and again. That's seriously impossible, right? Every now and again. Like, so what that would mean is I'm trapped at my sister's house for eternity and again. There are things that we say that we don't really understand. We just say them. Phrases that we just say. And one of those phrases I want to talk about this morning is this phrase. Christians, we do it too. We have a lot of them. We have a lot of phrases that only we understand. And sometimes we don't even understand those things. Like this word. Spirit filled. Are you spirit filled? Are you spirit filled? Yeah, I'm spirit filled. I'm spirit filled. Yep. That person's spirit filled. This person's other. What does that mean? Because see, when I grew up, we didn't talk about being spirit filled. That wasn't really a phrase that we used. But then I started hanging around certain people. And then we started talking about spirit-filled. So many times that we've said. The spirit-filled is just simply, well, all right, well, how do you know you're spirit-filled? Well, spirit-filled. Well, I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues. I mean, I'm spirit-filled because I pray in tongues, right? Or I was spirit-filled, and I prayed in tongues back in 1990, right? Or I had an experience and got spirit-filled, and so, yeah, I'm part of the spirit-filled. What it's actually turned into meaning is I'm spirit-filled. That just means I'm not Baptist. I'm just not Baptist anymore. What if I told you that that's not necessarily Bible spirit-filled? What if I told you that being spirit-filled, charismatic, is more than just, I talked about Hondas and bow ties and who stole mine, right? What if it was more than just speaking in tongues? It is. So my sermon title today is, As We Land the Plane of the Supernatural. Really, it all boils down to this. Is, are you Spirit-filled? This morning, are you Spirit-filled? So in order to do that, we're going to go back to the beginning. Because if we don't go back to the beginning, and we don't get a full understanding of what it means to be a Christian, and what it means to be a child of God, and what it means to call ourselves a follower of Jesus, call ourselves Spirit-filled. We don't understand, we don't have a foundation of what this is all, what this whole thing is really all about, then we'll have a misunderstanding of what this term Spirit-filled even means. So let's go back into the Wayback Machine, put our little, get our flux capacitor, put the little dates in, and we're going to go back, right, to the beginning. So God's plan, and I'm going to say this over and over until we understand. Because listen, we've been told this, that the gospel all depends on who's going to heaven when they die and who's going to hell when they die. That's what we've relegated a lot of the gospel to. Did you receive the gospel? That means, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? That is true and very simplified. Very simplified. There is a whole lot more that God is interested in. He's interested in those things. He's definitely interested in where you're going to spend your eternity. He's definitely interested in that. But he's also interested in what his main goal of that plan is. The main goal of the plan is in the very beginning. We get glimpses of it when God said, let us make man and woman in our image. Let us make man in our image. And when we do, what we want them to do, we want man and woman to do, is go out and multiply and take God's image into the whole earth. We use terms like this, that we want to see, we want God's glory. Glory. Like, what does that even mean? You ever stop and think about that? What is the glory of God? Well, it's when I'm just in a service and I see, if you're charismatic, I see the glory of God. What does that really mean? That God's goal would be that he would, that the God, that the, that God would fill the earth with his glory. Does that mean you just have a bunch of church services? And we have moments with God? God's glory is simply this, that we mirror God's likeness. That is God's glory. When we are imitators of Christ, we display his glory. That's what the glory is. And yeah, it has to do when you're an amazing servant. Yeah, it has to do when people come together and they worship and you sense the presence of God. Yes, that's all part of it. But you take that with you, right? So in the very beginning, we see that over the years, God gives the commandments. Because he says, whenever you go into this new land, you're going to be different. When you go into and you go into the land that God promised the Israelites, he said, when you go into there, you're going to be different. I don't want you to look like them. I don't want you to act like them. Remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the clubs, right? You're going to be in the Christian club. You're going to be in the godly club. You're going to not look like other people. And you're going to be different. And so all throughout the Old Testament, is honestly, you want an honest rendition of the Old Testament? Is a colossal failure of people to do exactly that. To show forth the image of God. Well, they have glimpses. Man, they have some really good high times, right? They have some really good times where, man, they're going in and they're tearing down the old temples, they're tearing down the ungodly thing, and they're going back in the temple and going, God, we want to serve you, we want to do things your way. And there are times when they do that, and then the very next king is like, God who? We're going to do our own thing. We're going to worship who we want to worship. And then not only the people of the earth are bad, the very vehicle that God chooses to be separate is flawed. They don't even do it right. So you're like, but how many of you know God has a master plan? God's plan was bigger than just those Israelites set apart. We find this in Romans chapter 8. All of these things, watch, this is so important that we get this. All of these things that we said we're going to, you ever, listen, we sometimes think like the Israelites. Boy, if I just muscle my way through it. Man, I can just stop being angry. If I can just stop being led by my emotions. Boy, if I can just start, if I could just be nicer to my wife. This week I'm going to buy her roses. This week I'm going to encourage her three times a day. And then this week I'm going to do it. And then I'm just going to do it. Rah! How many of y'all have been there? You heard a good message. And you're like, man, maybe you did it, man. You muscled it through for a solid 4 days. And then Sunday you felt like a failure again because you didn't quite live up to that expectation. What if I told you there's a better way? Actually, a way that works than trying to do it all on your own. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what, watch this, what the law could not do since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his son in his own likeness, He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hear this in verse 3. For what the law could not do, it couldn't produce the righteousness. It couldn't produce right living. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking that your Christianity has only thing to do with is all, are you doing the right things or the wrong things? If all your thoughts are, am I doing the right things or I got to do more right things than wrong things, then brothers and sisters, you have missed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is so much bigger than just the rules. Because listen, if you just go and live the rules, well, let me back up. Are there rules? Yes. Let's be clear about that. Are there rules? Does God have definitions of right and wrong? Yes. Right? But if you're just living, goes, man, I gotta muscle my way through doing all the right things. You're no different than the Israelites of old who tried to live out these things just in their flesh, in their own strength, in their own ability. Jesus came to defeat your sin nature as offering him up as a sacrifice so that sin would not have ultimate power over you. Right? It's so much bigger. Like, you understand, like, we just say, well, Jesus came and died so I could go to heaven. Well, why didn't we just go to heaven? Why didn't we just pray the prayer and go to heaven? Right? Because if that was the truth, that would be the thing to do, right? We just go to heaven. Now, there's a job for us to do here. And he's equipped us to do it. So let's go. Let's read a little bit further. Because listen, there is a difference between living in the flesh and living by the Spirit. And so what Paul's about to start talking about is the idea of us living by the Spirit. It says, for those who live according to the flesh. And let me just say, not just living towards by the flesh is not just living in sin. It's this idea that I am trying to do all these things in my own strength, in my own flesh. For those live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death. Hear that. Hear that. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable. Hear that. Unable to do so. If you're just trying to just muscle your way through right living, you're in for a failure. Because you just muscled your way through it, muscled your way through it, muscled your way through it. Those who live according to the flesh cannot please God. You cannot live your Christian following God heart to do so in your flesh, in your flesh alone. I have an example that I want to use to illustrate this a little bit better. Oh, wrong pocket. This is a baseball glove or a softball glove. Actually, it's a baseball glove. Why? Because there's a baseball in it. So, how many of you know? By the way, the Braves are only a half game out in first place. Just say, come on. Come on, that's a shout. That's my first shout this morning. That's amazing. It was about Braves. That's amazing. How many of you know this has a purpose? This has a thing that it was designed to do. But as it sits there, it's powerless to do what it's designed to do. I know what we need to do. What we need to do is I need to give that glove, because it's not doing what it's called to do. I need to give that glove some inspiration. Come on, glove, you can do it. I want to encourage you that you have it in you to do what you're called to do. Come on, glove. If you just only would believe that your purpose is your purpose. And if you would just believe, you can, I believe in you. You have what it takes, glove. You have what it takes. Still nothing, right? But maybe it needs to go to, you know what that glove needs? Some discipleship classes. It needs some discipleship classes. That's what I just need to teach and train this glove to do this. Go, did you know, glove? That if you opened yourself up and a ball was coming towards you, you could open yourself up and you could receive that. Did you know that that was a possibility for you? If you only knew your identity, glove, and who you were, then you could function as you're supposed to function. Nope. Still nothing. I know. You know what that glove needs? It needs a buddy. Now, that other empty glove can encourage that other empty glove. And then we got something going on. Now we can have this glove tell this glove how to live, how to do life. And they could just fellowship together. Maybe they can be in the same dugout together. And then they can do it. Then this glove will realize its potential. You know where we're going with this, sometimes we have too many empty gloves telling other empty gloves how to do things. Maybe that didn't work. Maybe this glove, you know what glove? You need to rededicate your life. You need to recommit your life to being a glove. You just need to recommit. Come down forward. And just recommit your life to being a glove. Then, surely, on Monday, that glove's going to start acting like a glove. Silly analogy, right? You know what that glove needs? It needs to be filled with the one who can make this glove operate and be the glove that God called them to be. And until that glove is filled, it'll never reach its potential to who God made this glove to be. It has to be filled. What we do in the body of Christ is we just try, we disciple ourselves for eternity. We just say, if we just put people together, maybe they can do. Or we just say, I just encourage you. You know what you need? To be filled. To be filled with God. Is that in the Bible? It sure is. In that same chapter, in chapter 8. See, we're just going right through this chapter. Romans chapter 8. We're reading verse 8 again. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hear that? However, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. Let that land where it needs to land. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, your body is dead, but the Spirit himself gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring to your mortal bodies life through his Spirit that lives in you. The power to do what we're called to do is not through just muscling your way through it. If I just had more discipleship, if I just had more. No. You need to be filled with the presence of God. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it is so much more than I prayed in tongues back in 1995. And all of a sudden, because you know what? Since then, you've been leaking real bad ever since. Because in the Bible, like in the book of Acts, you know, the same people who were baptized when we celebrate Acts Pentecost, those same jokers who were baptized then, we see them multiple times through the book of Acts being filled again and again and again. See, God wants to animate you by his Spirit. He wants to cause you to be imitators of Christ so that you don't just say, listen, it's the Spirit of God who lives in me. In him, I live and move and have my being. That's why, do you understand? That's why he starts it off saying, hey, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That means if I just receive more of God's Spirit, can you have more of God's Spirit? Yes. Yes. If you can be filled and refilled and then filled and refilled, then there are times where you need to be refilled. You're not a once filled, always filled doctrine. It takes a second. No, I know where my Baptists are. See, when we try to do things in our flesh, it's our lower nature, right? It's this idea that I can just muscle my way through it. Actually, the book of Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the fruit of the flesh, really is what it is. So these things that we do that we don't want to do, right? Like when we just live by our fleshly nature, just by how, and let me just say, it is rampant in our world. This philosophy of, I'm just whoever I am. I'm just who I am. And you need to accept me because of who I am. Just like I am. Really? So how far are we going to take that through? Well, I'm just a murderer. That's just who I am. You just accept me. I'm just hateful. You realize you have desires in you that uncontrolled will lead you towards death. No matter what it is. Whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's all kinds of sexual perversions, whether it's whatever, or whether it's just greed, or whether it's just outbursts of wrath. This is a small church. I've hung out with a lot of you. And you've hung out with me. We all know that left to our own devices, it's pretty bad. So we're going to tell a world to just be you? Just to live according to your desires? Really? So that's a thing now. Get off my own. So we want pleasure with every kind of, so I wrote this down. So we want pleasure, every kind of sexual pleasures, and whatever our flesh wants to do, we do it. That's not what God's Spirit would encourage us in, right? God would be encouraging the very opposite of those things as we're Spirit-filled, as we're led by the Spirit of God and not led by our flesh. Actually, further on down, he says, how are you going to overcome your flesh? By your Spirit. He says, by your Spirit, you'll put to death the deeds of the flesh. Right? By your Spirit. It's the Spirit is going to give you power over sin. Always has been. Well, maybe I just want revenge. I'm going to get my revenge. I'm just going to do it. That's what I want. That's what I am. That's my flesh. That's what I'm going to do. Instead of God allowing God's Spirit to overtake you and let God work things out for you. Or we want other things before we want God. They're called idols. These other things are more important than the things of God. Because we're not led by God's Spirit. Or we try all other kind of ungodly supernatural fixes to our problems. The Bible calls these, if you don't know, I'm actually just going through Galatians 5 and the works of the flesh. Or we choose hostility instead of forgiveness. Or we allowed ourselves to explode with anger. That's just who I am, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Or we allow God's Spirit to work in us, to do a work in us, to change us. Or, here's a big one today, I don't care about the division. We're just going to be divided as people of God. I'm glad the zealot of the disciple of Jesus and Matthew didn't think that way. They have different opinions. Somehow they still flowed together in the work of the kingdom. Matter of fact, Jesus picked those guys. You ever wonder that? I do kind of think that Jesus sat back and went, watch this. Matthew worked for the Romans. The zealot wanted to assassinate the Romans. This is going to be great. But I believe he did it to prove that it could be done. Or we just leave an envy. I just leave an envy. Jealous of other people. Instead of allowing the Spirit of God to produce some happiness for others when they succeed. See, we call ourselves Spirit-filled. But we allow all these things to creep in. And a lot of times we're just fine with it. Remember the goal. The goal isn't right or wrong. The goal is that we are imitators of God. Created, God's plan was us to be created in His image to show people what God's like, to fill the earth with the glory as the waters cover the sea. And if we have a right understanding of what glory is, it's that when I act like Jesus in my marriage, I'm bringing the glory of God into my home. When I act like a follower of Jesus as a father to my kids, I bring the glory of God into my home. It's bigger than just right and wrong. Husband, love your wife. Christ, love the church. That's a command. I'm doing it. But when I do, I bring the glory of God. When I act like a submissive employee on my job, according to Scripture. Remember, submission is only submission when you're asked to do something you don't want to do. Otherwise, it's agreement. When I do that, what am I doing? I'm bringing the humility nature of Jesus, the glory of God, into my workplace. When I love those who despitefully use me, when I love those who speak out and say all kind of bad things about me, when I keep that love button pushed, what am I doing? Fulfilling godly principles and loving other people. In doing so, I bring the glory of God into my own world. See, bringing God's glory and being a witness is more than just, let me hand you a tract and see if you go to heaven and hell or heaven or hell when you die. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's displaying God's glory everywhere I go. And it happens not because of my flesh, but because the Spirit of God has animated that glove and cause that glove to be exactly what God made it to be. So the question is, how do you get Spirit-filled? Well, I've seen it. People just come down there and lay hands on you. That's a way. We see that in the book of Acts. Totally. How many of you know that you don't have to wait till Sunday? You can actually do this through the week. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go there real quick. Y'all want to know how to get Spirit-filled? Are you ready to allow God to animate you? Aren't you tired? Listen, aren't you tired of trying? Are you tired of just and failing? Interesting, Paul starts this off like this. Pay careful attention then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making most of the time because the days are evil. The days were evil in Paul's day too. This is not new. Evil days are not new. But I'm glad that Paul lived in those evil days, so it tells us we're supposed to live during the evil days. We're living in some pretty evil days. Make no mistake. He says, but don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living. But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another. Watch this. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When was the last time we did that? Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that Paul says, he gives us what to do when the days are evil. What to do when the days are evil. What Paul would stand up here today and go, I see your country. I see the morals of your country. I see them. I see what's going on in your political realm. I see it. Paul would say, I see it. And you know what he would say? What the answer to that thing would be? Be filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with the fullness of Him. Because if you don't, you won't be wise. You'll be unwise in the way you walk. He says, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And how do you do that? You be filled with God's Spirit. How do you do that? He gives us a clue into the answer. fellowship with God on a moment by moment by moment. How often should you spend time with God? Every now and every then. Every now and every again. Every now and every again. Every now. Every now. Every now. That's why Paul could say things like, that I pray without ceasing. This idea of fellowship with the Father on a daily basis, on a moment by moment basis. Continual communion with the Father by the Spirit of God. Because when we do that, and he says, speak to yourselves and to each other. The problem with this scenario of these two gloves is they're both empty. One of these jokers needs to be filled so we can tell the other glove, hey, the reason you're not working is because you're not filled. But too many times we have too many empty gloves giving ethereal stuff and causing no fruit. We need people that are filled with the Spirit of God. Like, you understand, like, being Spirit-filled is not optional. It's not optional. It won't work. People just go, I mean, I say this all the time, and it just works. You know why my wife and I, we are married, we do so well together? Because we maintain our walk with God. You think we don't disagree? You think we don't argue? Why are you giggling so much? You think we agree? Listen, in this climate, everybody disagrees politically with everybody. You don't think that's different in our home? I mean, on the most important things, we agree. Praise the Lord. But you don't think we disagree with each other on things? Vaccinated, unvaccinated. It still works. In our home, it still works. We have strong opinions. But you know what? We're not led by my flesh. I'm led by the Spirit of God in me that moves me. I don't have to force it. I don't want to say, I love you. Let me force it out of me. Get filled with the love of God, and the love of God will flow out of you. Too many of us, we come to church and we're like a rock. We put the rock in the water, and we wonder why. I wonder why the rock doesn't have any water inside of it. What we need to be is a sponge, that when we dip ourselves into the water, we soak up everything of God. That's why God says, you know, till up those hard ground. That we have a heart of flesh, soft and pliable, so that God can mold and move us by the Spirit of God. And we said, Spirit filled is speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues, and it's wonderful. But it is only a part of what God's called us to. He has called us to walk in authority. The authority of the believer is the nature of God enforced in this earth, that we push back darkness. That's part of the glory of God being released by the authority of Jesus. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power gifts, that when healing manifests, Jesus said, how do you know that the kingdom of God's come? The sick are healed, and the people that are in bondage are set free. That's to be a part of the church because it's the glory of God. You know what else should be a part of the church? Love. Joy. Joy. Peace. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Those are all fruit of a Spirit-filled life. Not just some good. That apple tree's not going, oh man, if I could just get this apple. to pop out of its bloom. Let me have some discipleship classes on it. Let me get some around some other apple trees. No, I know. Let me do all the other things that we do. The apple tree produces apples because it's in its DNA to produce apples. We walk in love because it's in us. Because I live a life submitted to God. Not because I strained and worked and did the five easy steps of how to blah, 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 blah. Five easy steps of how to defeat porn. Five easy steps of how to have a great marriage. Five easy steps of how to do this. Five easy steps of how to do it. None of those are easy, by the way. How about you just get in God's presence and go, God, I love you, God. God, I worship you, God. God, with all this within me, God, I worship you, God. Would you transform me right here in my bedroom? God, that I would be more like you. You're like, I don't have time. Well, then earlier, 4 o'clock in the morning, like, what is it worth to you? I got to get in God's presence. I'm going to get in God's word so God's word can mirror and it can pull things out of me. God, that God would fill me with his spirit. And then I get around people that are godly, and those people aren't empty gloves, they're full of God's spirit, and they're encouraging me. We're talking about scripture, we're talking about the things of God, we're talking about, how is it that we get people together that are Christians, we don't even talk about the things of God? There's a better way to live. And it's not just keep on trying, keep on pressing, get filled with God's spirit. Get filled with his spirit. Let's have a stand. How often are we going to be spirit filled? Every now and again. And then every now and every again. Come on, just you and him. Just play, Eric. Hallelujah. When all eyes focus on him. Aren't you tired? Listen. Aren't you tired of the flesh? Aren't you tired of trying to do things in the flesh? Now, I wouldn't be a good pastor if I only said nice things. So let me ask you this, title of my message this morning. Are you spirit-filled? Is that a goal in your life? Am I spirit-filled? Talk about those things I've talked ad nauseum about. What are you feeding yourself on, right? Are you just watching the local? Are you just watching, like, you know, I understand we need to know what's going on in our world. I get that. But if that consumes more of your time than getting in God's presence, getting in God's word and soaking up God's word and soaking up his presence, then you're out of balance. If you're more concerned about what's going on in our world than you are about what's going on in your internal world, ask God to refill you again with his spirit. Because all that news produces fear. All that news produces worry, dread, and all of that stuff that goes on in our world. Because how do I know? Because it tries to get on me. Says that God, that the fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy. Joy. Oh, that's only when things are good. No, no, no. Joy. But everything, it seems like it's falling apart. When you seem like you're the only one that's doing it right. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it comes by being refreshed. Because you know what happens in God's presence? God speaks His love over you. He speaks His perspective over everything. He speaks His peace over you. Under your breath, just say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Come on, just be a sponge right here. Let me just speak some words that I sense in my heart. God has not forgotten about the church in America. That's a fact. God is not wringing His hands wondering what He's going to do with the church in America. God knows exactly what He wants to do. And there won't be a day, I'll just proclaim it boldly, that there will always be a remnant of God's people who have God's purposes and God's plans in their mind. Let me speak this over you. Your thing that you're struggling with, God is not wringing His hands trying to figure out what to do with you, wondering why you're such a failure, wondering if you're ever going to get better. God's word over you is His love for you is never ending. You can't fail too much and go beyond God's love and is drawing you back to Himself. He loves you. He cares about you. He sees your pain this morning. Let me speak some more things. God sees your children that are wayward. He sees them. And God is able to bring people across their path to share His goodness with them. As long as, this is what I sense the Lord to say about your children, as long as there's breath in their lungs, there's hope. God sees your finances. God sees your struggle. And the word for other people is not different than the word for you. But God will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Today's these financial struggles are not forever. Happens is when we receive those things from God, all those other things go washing away. The fear. That's why it says when we pray, the peace of God comes. So one more time, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your love. Less of me. Come on. Less of me. Let your Spirit, I Jesus and we turn. Let your spirit, God, say this, say, let your spirit, God, animate my life. I resist all other things that try to animate me. I resist fear, doubt, depression, sadness. And God, as you fill me with your spirit, I receive your joy, your freedom, your peace, and your power to walk this out. We repent, God, for being flesh ruled. God, we allow your spirit to take root in our hearts. We're going to seek after you every now and then.